Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 264. With me yet again is Chris Calamita. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
I'm still in one piece. The running around for this week has not started. That starts tomorrow with the lady's birthday, and then a little trip out of town for a day and a half. So, and then a busy day when we get back, too.
Right. Where you headed?
Hocking Hills is the location. It's actually down near Bob Evans Farm.
Oh.
because that really does exist. It's down southeast of Columbus here. And it's really nice down there. It's just a big wooded area with nice hiking trails and whatnot. So we're going to be doing that for her birthday.
Sounds like a good time.
Yep. So, yeah, this is the only day for me to record, so I had to record naturally.
Right. Glad to be here.
And we... bounced around topics a little bit, and well, we have our authority hub, and some of it we talked about last week. But hey, when you're in the main event two consecutive weeks running, you've got to be talked about.
Yes, you do.
So even though I had this on a little bit on the bottom, I think it's a good one to start out with, though. Is Stephanie and Bree?
Yeah. I'd say I like the last half better than the first half. Maybe the last quarter, maybe if you are dividing it up.
Yeah. Stephanie's part was definitely the better of the two parts.
Yeah, she definitely was. The dialogue Bree was given was brutal, and her delivery was probably even more brutal.
Yeah, that's really killing at least part of it, because, and I don't know if, because I feel like they're doing the right things.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I do too. Actually, I think that they've been doing a really good job with it. I don't know if you saw the sit-down interview with Michael Cole that Bree did last Wednesday on WWE.com.
No, I did. I should have cut the time out. What did she cover?
Well, no, it was just a very serious promo about what Stephanie has done to her, what she's done to her sister, her husband, and what she's gonna do to her at SummerSlam without any trashy prison talk.
You calling it trashy prison talk is probably more than it deserves.
Yeah.
It feels like well, it just reminds me of TNA, where they just kind of like force the swearing onto it. It's like they're just kind of forcing, the swearing and the bad dialogue on her, like.
It's after 11 p.m. We can say bitch now.
Well, and as much as I mean, as much as I love Daniel Bryan, I think he's gotten pretty decent on the mic. Like, I still don't think he's the one that needs to be teaching Bree or anything like that. So, what was I trying to get to? Oh, I don't think he. I think he was still scripted. And I think Bree is, too. Like, I don't think they're going to let her loose.
I would blame whoever produced that segment more than I would blame her for her end of it not working out the way that it should have.
Okay. Yeah, because it's been a couple of weeks running now, because when she was talking last week, it was the same stuff. It was like bitch just for bitch's sake. There wasn't really... You you want to build up to that line. And it was like the fifth thing that Brie came out of her mouth last week. And it was the same this week. Like, it's even just the ordering of the promo just doesn't make that much sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Stephanie just came off way better. There's probably a very good chance that that is by design, considering who we are dealing with here.
I just think that is Steph in her best mode, too, though. Like, when she gets to be that condescending, bitchy mode, that is one of her two very good modes. And she is really turning it on with this one.
She is. Steph was tremendous throughout that whole thing. it's just, the thing is, it's like, she took out the Bella single-handedly. It's like... where else can those poor girls go from there?
Yeah, I only saw the part where Triple H had Nikki pinned because, right. Of course, I didn't flip to the station even though I'd caught up at that point.
Yeah.
And, so in the time that I got out of the recording of it into the station, Nikki was already down. So I missed a bit of a crucial moment in there.
You missed the largest breasted person to ever take a pedigree.
Fair enough. I was going to say, did Trish ever have to take one? She did have to do a lot of groveling, but I'm not sure she ever took a pedigree.
No, that's actually, I've got to think about it. I believe that was the first time Stephanie's ever used a pedigree for herself.
Huh.
I think it was. Which is weird. You think it would be an obvious thing for her to do, but that was the first time she's ever done it. And it was picture perfect.
Well... And I guess I'm going to have to look this up now. But I'm not sure how long they've been together.
On screen, it's actually about 15 years. 15 years, I think, in the summer?
Yeah, well, I hang you out to dry and don't say anything. I'm trying to figure that out here. Because she had mentioned that she hadn't wrestled in 10 years.
No, she didn't. I think something. I think the I Quit match with her dad was her last match. It's an amazing thing to say, but it's true.
Engaged Valentine's Day 2003. Married October 25th, 2003.
Yeah. Okay. Relationship goes back to December of 99.
So that does give her a 4-year window or so, 4 to 6 year window. If you're saying 99, that's the whole time she was active, but I don't feel like she really admitted to it until a little bit later there.
Right.
Or at least it wasn't found out, because the first thing... and I forgot about her relationship with Test on TV.
Yeah. About that, they were so cute together. She was so innocent back then.
She's still attractive, actually. So
more, certainly more. Actually, I would say.
Where was I going there?
Let's get the track now.
But, well, no, if they were married in 2003, like, I don't feel like the news of them dating had been all that long before that. I feel like it was at least in the 2000 area there.
Yeah.
You know, that didn't give her, it gave her some time to do the pedigree, but I guess maybe not a lot. And you know, taking a decade off of actually wrestling will do the trick also. You know, maybe it happened, but the memory is playing tricks on us.
Yeah, but that it was very well done. I mean, a lot of guys have taken it a lot worse, a lot more, you know, awkwardly.
Yeah, Brie took it like a champ. But, yeah, I mean, they really did get their asses handed to them pretty easily.
Yeah, it was kind of too easily, especially for Brie, that she just literally caught, like tripped off of a table. But, I mean, obviously you have to build up to, you know, Brie getting the better of Stephanie physically. You can't give that.
Yeah. Yeah, the outcome was not going to be any different. I'd at least like to see an attempted slap or something of the sort. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, Triple H did sell like a champ.
Oh. Yeah, I did forget about that.
I think there have been WrestleMania main events that Triple H didn't sell that much in.
Speaking of sell, he kept on trying to sell us the WWE Network for $9.99.
Oh, yeah. That was... You know what? When he was doing it, it was funny. I think it was catching on. It may have actually helped, but then... Lame-ass announcers jumped on. Oh, it died a death. Those three can kill anything. They are so lame.
Yeah, I mentioned this to Jeremy, I think, in our conversation last week. Just that dynamic between those three is just mind-boggling. Like,
it's getting really bad.
I am almost more fascinated by that than the actual wrestling half the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. they're oftentimes on not even on different pages, but different books. I know JBL and Cole are like legitimately best friends, but their chemistry does not jump off the page like that. At least not this era. It hasn't. Obviously, Cole's been holding it in for years.
Well, they work a little bit better together on SmackDown.
Maybe it's Lawler.
Lawler definitely does not help.
Yeah. And I love the King to death, I ain't saying that, but yeah, it's a three-man booth. The chemistry is not there.
Right. But, you know, it was one of those things, just like... I don't know who let them keep on doing it that much. Or why someone would instruct someone to do it
right. That
much. Like,
it was very disingenuous. And unfortunately, people do not take Michael Cole as the authoritative voice of the WWE, no matter how much they try to say that. It's just... on a heel run or just general mediocrity for a number of years, but it just doesn't work with him.
Yeah, and I mean, I've mentioned recently, I do feel like it's gotten to the point where it really is like announcing the actual match is like the fourth thing on his list to do now.
Oh yeah, there's I think Steve
it's Austin like
has referred to it as the dissemination of information that they have to do, and everything that goes into it, and all the social media accounts and all the things that they're plugging, and it's just like, oh, stop. Call the match for once.
Yeah, I mean, they could use to back off on that stuff a little bit and, you know, have him call a match, which would probably help a good bit also. But,
they have to sell this network somehow, but they gotta find something different. I don't know. I've been banning about the idea of hire Don West. Let him do segments on Raw. Heck, buy infomercial time at 2 a.m. You know? They got outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, Don West doing anything, sign me up for it. He always killed me. Like, I still hate the move of Taz being the Keller commentator in TNA over Don West. Like,
TNA died for me long before Hogan showed and Bischoff showed up and everything else that's happened. That moment, it was done for me.
Well, that is completely way off subject, but whatever, we're there. That was just the first example of TNA not believing in their own homegrown product.
Absolutely. I mean, it just turned heel, and it was going really well. He was the first legitimately funny color guy we've seen in a long time, especially as Lawler began really slipping. There's so much to him. It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is. I still don't get that, because Jeremy mentioned this in a conversation that I have yet to post, that there were 60,000 people that still bought the pay-per-view.
Yeah, payback even. I don't understand. Underlying tones to, like, Triple H's, you know, what was this, like, it's $9.99, you cheap bastards. This is the reason we can't get good ad rates.
No, I don't know if cheap bastards is the right word. I think it's dumb bastards. Because, and this is something else that I mentioned in that column that'll be posted, too, is that, if you buy two pay-per-views, and we went to WrestleMania this year, but we don't do it every year, and I always buy the Rumble, so, I mean, those two pay-per-views right there, I mean, that's always been my arguing point. Like, I buy those two pay-per-views, it's more than $120.
Right, yes.
I'm in.
HD, yeah.
You know, you sold me, and then I get to actually watch the other smaller pay-per-views that I wouldn't even thought about watching.
Right. Yeah, it's an amazing deal. I mean, the way I can think about it is this. No WrestleMania has done better than, I believe, 1.25 million buys, and that's like either the Rock Cena one or the Trump one. I mean, is there only under 1.3 million people in the entire world would pay any amount of money to watch any kind of wrestling? That's the question you gotta ask. Yeah.
Oh. Right.
You would have to. Right. Yeah. I'm definitely not as well versed on the business end of that to tell them exactly what they should do. But yeah. I mean, obviously they have to keep promoting it, and hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, now, is that just domestic pay-per-view buys?
No, that was worldwide.
Oh. Yeah, that was the only hole I was going to try and find in that one.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's, you know, once again, $99. You know, they got to push they're pushing the price. They really start pushing the content. I think that, you know, at this point, SummerSlam was a show I would have spent $54.99 on, but I'm getting it for $9.99, and hopefully other people think, hey, it's $9.99.
Yeah, hopefully we get more subscribers so that we don't get continually beat over the head with that information. Exactly. And the fact that Michael Cole still... Because I think he tied this into one of those, was the, and this is why I tell everyone how to download the app. I wanted to throw my computer down and be done writing my column.
This is an audience who needs it. They need to be led by the hand through technology, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I guess that's what I don't get, is that their audience is supposed to be younger. And my nephew can work a phone better than I can.
Oh, yeah.
And he's 5.
Okay, I've got a 3-year-old niece who somehow, when she likes to go through, you know, your Facebook and look at pictures of kids and babies and puppies, and it's just like, when she's done, she presses done. How do you know what that says? I've fought it for years. You know, we do this on this website. We try to have intelligent conversations about wrestling, but the bulk of the audience is the lowest of the low, and it's why I hate saying that.
I guess in some ways I'm still surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be. We always mention it too, there's two wrestling crowds, because when you go to WrestleMania, that is an entirely different crowd than if, I go to a Raw and or SmackDown here in Columbus.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
I enjoy the perks of being a season ticket holder, so I get to sit with the, well, let's just say, have a little more money, folk, when I go now. But when I was still buying the cheap seats, the crowd was a little suspect.
Yeah, I know. I don't know about you. I mean, I've never done this. I mean, but you hear the horror stories about sports bars that used to do wrestling pay-per-views, but now they don't, because that fat, you know, that overweight, smelly guy would come in there. He'd order a water, have refill it all night, and then not leave a tip.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't hear any of those horror stories. I just figured that because it was less popular, people stopped doing it.
Right, yes. Yeah. The cool kids moved on about 2001, 2002.
Yeah, because I think we were still... because we went to a couple of shows down at a local bar here. I think, right, because I moved down here in 99. So, yeah, I feel like it lasted at least until 2000.
Right.
Although I do think someone tried to bring it back recently, I was a little shocked by the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. There's maybe one or two around here that still do it.
I still think it was one of my favorite Jeremy moments. We were sitting there at the B-Dubs in Kent, ran the pay-per-views. And we were getting hammered. And I think it was after Saturn had left the flock. And the table in front of us started cheering for Saturn when he beat Raven.
Maybe
it was someone else in the flock. And Jeremy's just like, "How can you cheer for him?" And then just proceeded to berate the table in front of us.
That's awesome.
I was just in tears. Like, all of us are just, like, looking down at our beer, just going, "Oh, my God."
That's great. That's a good story. I'm glad we went through all of those asides to get to that story.
Oh yeah, and it all started at the $9.99.
Yeah, that game. We can stop making fun of our average listener now.
Yeah, our average listener. I wish they listened to the podcast. We would we'd have a lot more people looking at the site. Oh man. Well, I guess one thing to me that or one feud that has escaped sight a little bit, or at least are talking about, I feel like, was Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. That was a lot of fun.
Ambrose really did show his Roddy Piper, Terry Funk charisma that people talk about in that moment. Everything he did, every tilt of his head, every you know, hand movement, body movement, gesture, everything. He was tremendous.
Well, and even before that, it was one of those things that, in some way, I understand why they went with the Heath Slater angle. So I'm kind of working things both sides of the fence here. But I enjoyed the fact that finally a beat-the-clock challenge wasn't a gimme.
Yeah, it was really well done. I mean, when that Ambrose Del Rio match hit the 10-minute mark, it's like, what the heck's going on here?
Yeah, and more of them should be like that, because, like, I don't feel like they, that this was, like, Del Rio has definitely been around longer, but at least in everyone's eyes right now, I would see him below Ambrose.
Far, far below.
But, you know, he still has been around longer, and you can sell the whole world champ angle.
Right, yeah.
So... yeah, it's a big win for him, which is nice. And I don't feel like I've seen Rollins in a bunch of longer matches, and like he got ended up getting the bulk of the work in a lot of the Shield matches too.
Right.
So that was the first time for me that Ambrose really got to be in the ring for an extended period of time too. And
maybe the Cesaro match on SmackDown, but that obviously that was a gimmick weapon brawl.
Oh.
To be in a wrestling match where the focus was on a heel picking apart the body, a body part, the arm. And that was probably a first for Ambrose in WWE, definitely. And it was a really good match.
You know, that was nice. Oh, and even though I was talking about the levels there, I guess my point was going to be that in the other beat-the-clock challenges, I don't feel like they have these giant mismatches. They usually have 8 people involved in it, so right. They're a little more on level with each other. So they should have, you know, okay, maybe not a 15-minute match, but it should still be, like, 10 minutes or something like that, instead of, like, it starts at 6 minutes and then goes down from there.
Yeah, Beat the Clock has definitely become kind of a bland, generic crutch. I mean, I vaguely remember, like, the first time they did it in an episode of Raw, I think it was, I want to say it was in the, maybe even in the run-up to the, Elimination Chamber or something to establish the, when last. And it was before that too.
Oh.
Five somewhere in there. I think that was really well done, but from there, it really became a crutch. And this was one where they really established that it could mean something.
So I mean, it really set an interesting tone too for the second match, because. And then to go back to the announcers a little bit, I found it interesting. And how easily they sold RVD losing to Rollins in under the 15 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good story there because they knew that, you know, the authority knew that, you know, after, you know, that time had been established that, well, actually, I'm thinking about the opposite being, you know, that just simply that they didn't know, think that maybe that RVD could beat Rollins. I mean, Rollins beat RVD. Well, I'm totally off my game right there.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it was probably the plan from the start, you know, essentially.
What the hell? Oh, well, yeah, I mean, I guess I was a little surprised the announcers didn't try to sell that a little bit, RVD, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But then I completely...
Yeah, I think right now that they're not in the RVD business right now. They're not pushing him at all. They know, I don't know how long he's back in the form, but they know he's not someone that they're investing in, right?
I understand not being interested in him because his matches have really been sloppy, even by his standards.
Right.
So there's that much. And, you know, he is a little bit older, but I still think that the announcers can sell him as a threat to still take Rollins to the limit of that time limit, because I mean, 15 minutes shouldn't be unreasonable.
Right. No.
So I think that's the only thing that I found interesting there. I did enjoy the Heath Slater appearance.
Yeah. That whole thing was really well done. You know, every time Rollins got distracted. Getting the win, and of course when he finally did, you know, like, great reaction. How could you not love Dean Ambrose pretty much dancing to the 3MB music?
He's a three-man band.
I hope he never changed that music. It makes no sense anymore, but damn it, just keep it.
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, you at least feel half decent for Slater for getting some type of little feather for all of the efforts he's put in.
Yeah, I like Slater. He's very good. He's definitely a guy that they should keep around in whatever role they can find for
him. Yeah, he would definitely be on the entertaining part of the equation.
Better than Adam Rose looking at himself in a mirror as a lemon or whatever the hell that segment was supposed to be.
Oh my gosh. I really did expect something more out of that segment.
Yeah,
but
no, it was just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't expect it to turn into something great, but I guess I don't even know why you have that segment.
It was to promote the movie Oculus, where apparently a mirror comes to life or something, but they did not explain that well at all.
Oh. Yeah, didn't catch that at all. Okie dokie. I don't even want to know how bad that one is.
I've actually heard it's actually gotten good reviews. It's a movie I think that WWE bought distribution rights to, as opposed to anything that they produced themselves.
Oh, okay.
I think that's the story behind that one.
Gotcha. Well, that's always good news, because I didn't realize the Game of Thrones guy was in a WWE Films movie.
Yeah. I've actually heard absolutely nothing about that one.
Yeah. I don't even care. What was it? Road to Paloma or something like that?
Yeah. La Paloma. I think Paloma.
You know, whatever. I don't care. I don't care about the Marine 3. So you're not going to make me care about that one for sure.
Well, 4 is going to be coming out soon. Thanks.
Huh?
Well, 4 is going to be coming out soon with The Miz and Summer Rae in it.
No. Woo! 4. Straight to... Oh! He's another one. I guess I mentioned this yesterday in the Almost Live, definitely half-assed blog there. Do you think that his story needs a little more meat on it? Like, that was one of those things. It's really kind of been bugging me these last couple of weeks with The Miz.
I don't know what kind of meat you've been adding to it.
Well, I thought about just adding a studio name that isn't WWE Productions. You know, you would think that they'd be able to get the rights to use someone's name just to kind of throw it out there.
I think that the WWE film part does kind of add to, you know, the douchiness of him thinking he's actually a big star. I mean, I don't know if that's WWE's way of thinking about it, but I think it does.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. But I don't know. I guess he's just douchey enough on his own that I don't feel like that's needed. But whatever. It's The Miz. I'm not going to spend that much time on him.
Right.
Oh man. But there wasn't really anything else to cover with Ambrose and Rollins, was there?
No. The SmackDown tapings, which are floating spoilers, and you know, Ambrose is naming a stipulation.
Oh,
I think what only would make sense that that maybe a ladder match with the briefcase at stake, because I don't understand why Ambrose would make a match where the briefcase wasn't at stake.
Yeah, that seems like you would not be doing your civic duty for rulemaking if you did not include that as part of the package.
Right.
And, wow, yeah. Oh, and speaking of that, had you read the SmackDown spoilers last week? What was that prediction that that you had talked to? Oh, the flag match.
No. That had been a rumor going around.
Oh, okay. I don't do enough digging sometimes for rumors, so I'm not always paying attention. Oh man, well there was one other small one, I guess. Oh yeah, we can definitely cover it. Is the little triangle with Kane, Roman Reigns, and Randy Orton. It didn't go much anywhere this week, at least with Reigns and Orton. But it did lead to Kane's unmasking again.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where this is leading. I mean, I've had like an idea in my head that if Kane is on his way to being done, you know, a moment where him and The Undertaker, you know, walk off into the sunset together would be a great thing, but I'm not sure exactly what Kane's plans are or what they're planning to do with
him. Yeah, I enjoyed the corporate Kane character a lot. I didn't understand when they had him start getting involved physically again with them. That didn't make any sense to me. If they went back to a non-confrontational version of him, I think it would work a lot better.
Yeah, I think as his career is winding down, that role is going to be the best. best for him. I don't know. I don't know what this, if there's an injury situation or what you know led to this. It was very sudden. I mean, I guess he's been screwing up for a while and that obviously John Cena ended up with a champion. Roman Reigns has beaten him more than once.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd say that if he didn't hand the mask over to Stephanie again. So, I mean, it was his choice that he gave it up, and not that they kind of stripped him of it.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. So, yeah, we shall see where this is going. I've heard nothing. I know nothing. So, I guess it's interesting that... It's as interesting as a guy who's been around for, 17 years playing the same character can be, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's been very adaptable, and I've always been impressed by that. So, we'll see what happens if he goes chameleon again, or if he ends up doing something else.
Oh, my goodness. SmackDown spoiler right off the presses. What's the most uninteresting stipulation that Dean Ambrose could choose for his match against Seth Rollins?
Uninteresting? Cage match?
Oh, no. Think other kind of match that keeps people out or in.
Out or in? A Ring of Fire match?
Oh, no. It's going to be a lumberjack match. Could you think of a worse match for those two to have? They can't even go outside. All these brawls, they've been having all over the arena, and now they're in a match where they can't go outside. Those guys do die.
I could go the rest of my life without a lumberjack or lumberjill match.
I agree. I mean, this is just wow. I would say this has taken down my excitement for SummerSlam 25%. Like immediately. Because I had the potential to be the best match on the show for this.
That's just brutal.
It is. Oh my goodness. Wow. I honestly think that was a good idea. Maybe the same person was booking main event tonight, and they did a Swagger versus Del Rio in a Texas border town. Swagger and Seth playing their patriotic gimmick. Guess what happened?
Del Rio won?
No. Swagger won, but the crowd was almost 100% Del Rio.
Oh. Silly WWE.
Yeah. Oh. No, that's just depressing.
You don't have spoilers, but you do have an upcoming post about the Paul Heyman DVD.
Oh, yes, I give that a 2 big thumbs up. Absolutely. Very, very, very entertaining, very interesting. As far as WWE's documentaries go, this might be the best human case study they've ever done, because they really dive deep into what makes Paul tick, and talking to him himself and talking to all the people who've been around him for the past, up to closing in on 40 years, because they go deep into his background, starting out as 14 years old, taking pictures at Madison Square Garden, and so much stuff. It's a really good documentary.
Yeah, that was one of those things that, without having seen the documentary, we were talking about it a little bit before the show. It was Jericho, or he's been on Jericho's podcast a couple of times recently. And I guess I had no idea how, like, I mean, I always thought he was cool, but I had no idea how fascinating his life was.
Yeah, and that was actually kind of maybe the little bit of a drawback of the documentary is, like, they went into his, you know, maybe I'll take back the words, that they went deep into the early part of his life. He definitely went deeper in the Jericho podcast when he was talking about, especially his time at Studio 54.
Right.
And everything before ECW was kind of very abbreviated, but once, like, in the second hour of the DVD, that goes from ECW to present day, I mean, that's when it really, really, really gets great.
Gotcha. Yeah, and even on those podcasts, it always cracks me up when he kind of talks matter-of-factly about the arguments that he's had with Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah. He definitely goes into a lot of that type of stuff. And Vince isn't interviewed, but Stephanie is, and you would tell that, you know, a lot of bad feelings have been smoothed over. You know, he pulled to kind of a different guy today, but you can tell that there's still some bad residual bad feelings from those years they spent together on the creative team.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like one of the only guys. Like, I mean, people always talked about yes men for Vince. And it really does. I mean, he mentioned that he was really there to be the no guy.
Yeah, and he was the no guy to the hilt. I mean, there was no two hit. You know, they used the phrase over and over again. You know, pick your hills to die on. Paul chose to defend every hill when it came to, you know, his arguments with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
No market was too small to let go of, for the sake of doing business and going along to get along.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, if I get the time, or how long is the DVD there?
I went through and got the digital download off of Amazon. The rental's like $4.99. So I went with that because I'm not sure about, you know, getting a DVD that the extras are just, you know, promos, even Paul Heyman promos. I'm not sure if that's something that would have a lot of replay value for me personally. I'm sure for a lot of people it will. So I just needed to see the documentary. You know, for the sake of, you know, just seeing it as it's coming out and for review purposes.
And what was the runtime?
About this Doug Granny gig, I can pretty much justify any wrestling purchase for review.
Well, what was the runtime on it?
It's about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first hour is, it goes from, you know, his childhood through the end of his Paulie Dangerously run at WCW, and then the second hour is really where it gets really into the ECW stuff. And actually, quite a number of things that have really never been talked about before. We're not in the ECW documentary DVD that was put out almost going on 10 years ago now. A lot of details about all that. In fact, and oh my goodness, Paul must have just had a camera following him around backstage the entire run of ECW, because there is a lot of, like, really, really great candid footage of him, you know, coaching various people, you know, behind the scenes. And that is really interesting to watch, because you can tell that is like his big thing. The coaching aspect of young talent is what he really is a genius at.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'll have to try and do that here. That would be pretty cool to watch. Mm-hmm. Well, someone's life was ruined this week by Randy Orton.
I'm not necessarily sure, about that. I mean, there's two sides to every story, but the guy with a million Twitter followers should probably take the high road.
Randy Orton, not the smartest of persons at any point, I don't think, in his WWE tenure.
Let's break down the story a little bit for people who don't know. Apparently, Randy and his girlfriend, who is drop-dead gorgeous, that needs to be put out there, have had an issue with a woman from a crazy woman from Texas who is in love with Randy and makes rude comments towards his girlfriend on Twitter. This has gone on for a while. Somehow they ended up meeting, and she took a picture with her, and then apparently the bad mouthing started all over again. And then Randy Orton tweeted out a picture of him meeting this woman and basically and calling her the Latina Miss Piggy.
Yeah. I would... Oh, did he not know who she was at the time of the picture taking?
I'm not... That's the part of the story I'm not 100% sure about.
Okay, yeah, because I had just kind of seen the post and what he'd written on the Instagram post.
Right.
Which, of course, cracked me up anyway, despite it being very rude. I guess if he didn't know that's who it was, you know... He did. If he knew who that was and he still took the picture, he's an idiot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so, I'm definitely not sure about that part, but, you know, he could have handled the situation without fat shaming, you know.
I would think that there would be some way, actually, there's probably not some way, because crazy people are just crazy.
Allegedly crazy. Let's say that.
No. I have no idea if this woman is crazy or not. But I just know that if she is, the fat shaming won't do the trick. You just gotta. On Twitter, all you gotta do is just reach for that blocko button, and blam.
In that case, I mean, it really wasn't necessary for him. I mean, when you are a millionaire celebrity with a hot girlfriend, a mansion, and a tour bus, you've won over this woman who very likely has a pretty sad existence.
Yes.
But of course, you know, this all gets back to WWE, and Randy had to delete everything and said that the answer to fighting bullying is not more bullying, is the last tweet from Randy on this issue.
and there is some validity to that, for sure.
Indeed. Yeah. I guess we finish off with a great lesson. # be a star.
Well, we can't really end on that because we've got to do Plugola. Oh, and I would like to thank Jeremy for pimping our Sharknado review. I am sorry that I did not consider you for a guest spot on that one.
It's okay. I've dealt with it now.
But Opa may not happen this week because of the travels. But he's at Gozer 33 at Shaw Farm D. Is Shahid at Granny Mays, Jeremy at Stunt Dusty. And actually, those two guys are doing a show, well, probably did a show already. So, depending upon who gets...
I love Jeremy and Dusty shows. It takes me back.
So, you know, depending upon when these come out, this could come out after theirs. I'm not sure. That should be on the site here soon. And, IPA Day on Thursday. So, everybody, get ready to have your IPA gotten on, because I have a couple of guest contributors for IPA Day.
Oh, very cool.
And, I guess that's it for me. Obviously, at Stunt Granny, you're listening to the podcast, so I hope you have that one.
Hopefully, otherwise we'll get that subscriber, that follower count up.
Okie doke. Well, it's you get send off duties here.
All right. Thank you very much, grandkids. It's been a trip. Hopefully, next week we'll have a little more to talk about. It's kind of slow news week this week, but I think Paul Heyman would be proud with as much as we did was so little. That was pretty much his mantra in life during the ECW days.
Stunt Granny, the site that does a lot with so little. Yep, sounds like a good send off.
All right, man.